Welcome to the 180 Podcast. You are listening to a teaching of the 180, a new church committed to learning to love Jesus and love like Jesus. Our prayer is that God would use this teaching to help you grow closer to Him and that you would feel moved to join us in person, where you can grow in community with the larger 180 family.
Bienvenue à la balado-diffusion de l'Église 180. Vous écoutez un enseignement de l'Église 180, une nouvelle Église qui s'est engagée à apprendre à aimer Jésus et à aimer comme Jésus. Notre prière est que Dieu utilisera cet enseignement afin de vous aider à vous rapprocher de Lui et que cela vous donne envie de vous joindre à nous en personne où vous pourrez vous épanouir au sein de la communauté qu'est la grande famille de l'Église 180.
If we haven't met, my name is Michael. I'm one of the leaders, one of the pastors here. And this morning, we're continuing this summer series that we've been going through on the book of Proverbs. And if you've been with us, or maybe you're just here for the first time, or you've been away and you've missed some of this series, one of the things just to know about the book of Proverbs is it's a book in the Old Testament that makes up part of the wisdom literature of the Bible. It points us to God's wisdom. And in the book of Proverbs is actually a collection of different poems and riddles and instructions and warnings and observations that are all meant to help us to grow in wisdom. And maybe you've felt this so far if you've been kind of reading some of the Proverbs on your own, or you've been here for some of the weeks that we've done so far on this series, that you're realizing how hard this is. That this isn't easy. You felt this challenge of what it means to actually grow in wisdom. And one of the things that makes this really hard is that wisdom just takes time. One of the things that makes wisdom take time is that wisdom is much more than just gaining knowledge or growing in knowledge. In fact, the biblical word that's used for this idea of wisdom actually points to something much, much deeper than just gaining knowledge. It's this idea of something that actually needs to be practiced and applied to our lives in order to grow. This is important because it's actually not enough just to even read the Proverbs or just to even learn about wisdom or wise sayings or principles. You can actually do all these things and never actually grow as a wise person. You can actually do all these things and never learn even to apply the different Proverbs to your life or to understand how they apply to everyday situations. And there's a kind of a prime example of this that I want to look at as we begin is just to show you two Proverbs side by side that show how difficult this is. There are actually Proverbs that come like one verse right after another, and see what you notice about these two Proverbs and what a challenge these are to understand. The first is this. See it on the left-hand side. It says, "Don't answer the foolish arguments of fools, or you will become as foolish as they are." Okay, pretty straightforward until you get to the second one. This is the next verse. It says this. Be sure to answer the foolish arguments of fools, or they will become wise in their own estimation. Almost saying like the exact same thing, except one saying don't and one saying do. Like, what do you do with that? So confusing. Isn't the Bible just so fun and so easy to read? Right beside each other, these two verses that seem like they just contradict themselves, and we don't really know what to do with that. But if you remember, maybe if you were here last week, Pastor Dom talked about one of the principles that we need to understand with some of the Proverbs is that some of the Proverbs actually point to more of a particular or situational wisdom. In other words, they're a kind of wisdom that don't just apply all the time across the board in every situation, that we actually need wisdom to understand which proverb to use in which situation. And so if we're not really committing to actually desire to grow in wisdom, you'll never know which of these Proverbs to apply in what situation. And so our prayer, as we've been going through this series together, that is that you would not, by the end of the summer, you wouldn't just kind of grow in gaining knowledge or understand, like learn or memorize some of these Proverbs, but that you would actually grow in the kind of wisdom that helps you with your everyday situations. The kind of wisdom that actually helps you honor God as you step into different situations and different relationships and interact with different people. And one of the themes that the book of Proverbs addresses that I want us to look at this morning is that it talks about a kind of wisdom that's needed around the theme of pride. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And so if you want to get up and leave, I understand. Nobody wants to talk about pride. But pride is one of those themes that comes up over and over again in the book of Proverbs that's addressed in different ways. And it's a theme that I think is really hard for us to talk about because the idea of pride can actually be hard to define. But more than that, pride is something that's really hard for us to recognize in ourselves. Like, it's really easy to recognize it in someone else, right? To recognize it in my wife or in my husband, or to recognize it in my kids or my boss or a coworker, but it's really hard for me to recognize pride in my own life. And so before we look at what the book of Proverbs has to say about this topic of pride, one thing that I think will help us just as we think about how to define pride and what this means is to think, or to say right off the bat, that pride is really the opposite of humility. Maybe that helps, to just understand that pride is really the opposite of humility. And so as you think about this idea of humility, I want to start just by helping you reflect on a question, which is, as you think about this idea of humility, who is the most humble person that you know? Think about it for a second. You can't say Jesus. That's cheating. Okay? You can never say Jesus in church. That's always cheating. That's never the answer. But if you thought of anybody else, who is the most humble person you know, or who are some of the most humble people that you and know in your life? Think about it. And as you think about that, people that you know personally, who are some of the most humble people you know? As you think about that too, what is it about them that actually makes them humble? Have you ever thought about that? Like, why would you think of them and say, wow, they are such a humble person? When I think about different humble people in my life, a few different kind of qualities come to mind about what actually makes them humble. One is that a humble person is someone who's honest about their strengths and their weaknesses. Or a humble person is someone who's not pretentious. They don't get caught up in trying to impress other people or making sure that they get recognized for something that they've done. Or a humble person is someone who's not afraid to admit when they've made a mistake and they're okay with saying sorry. Or a humble person is someone who doesn't always feel like they have to be right or to get the last word. They're okay to say that they were wrong about something and to change their mind. A humble person is someone who's not afraid to ask others for help and who can actually learn to depend on other people in a healthy way. Or a humble person is someone who's easy for us to actually approach and to be honest with because you know that they're not going to judge you. But it's important as you think about just all these different qualities of what makes somebody humble, maybe you think of your own examples, that it's important to point out that humility is not a personality trait. Like when you think about people who are humble, they're not humble just because of their personality, and it's not something that we just grow into overnight. This is actually something that takes time to grow into. And when you think about the qualities of what makes somebody humble, pride is really the opposite of those things. Pride is really moving in the other direction. And pride is what begins to take root in each of us when we're not actually growing in humility. And it can take root in different ways and in different areas of our lives and even grow in really subtle ways. And while none of us, as we think about this, are really just completely humble on one side or completely proud or prideful on the other side, we all kind of live in the tension of these two extremes. And so one of my prayers for you as we just think about this topic of pride and of humility is that by the end of this message, you would not just desire to not be prideful in different ways, but that you would actually desire to grow more in humility as you think about different situations in your life or different relationships that impacts. As we turn kind of to the Proverbs and we look at what they have to say about pride and humility, many of the Proverbs actually warn us about the dangers of what can happen when we're not growing in humility and when pride really begins to take root in us. And one of the things that many of the Proverbs say is that pride, it has a quality that's very destructive. Pride can be very destructive in our lives. Here are just a few examples you'll see on the screen. The first is from Proverbs 16:18. It says, pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. Haughtiness is just another word for pride. Or the second one here says, pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor. Or a third one says, before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. Hey, these are just some of the examples of some of the Proverbs that talk about this idea that kind of warn about these dangers of the destructive quality of pride. Now, as you look at this, I want to remind you of something that we've talked about so far in this series. Again, when you look at the Proverbs and when you read the Proverbs, is that it's kind of a misunderstanding to look at Proverbs like this and say that they're giving some kind of promise or guarantee of what will happen. Like, if you do X, it will always result in this. That's not what they're saying. Instead, it's more of a general observation or a general pattern that they're pointing out of what is likely to happen. And so it's not saying that everybody who has pride in their hearts, which again is all of us, is going to experience some kind of like major failure or major downfall. But they can, and we can even give examples of people we know who are maybe very prideful or arrogant who are also successful. and don't have kind of major issues. But the wisdom of these proverbs, again, points to just this general pattern that if pride is left unattended and is allowed to grow, over time it will have a negative impact over different parts and different areas of your life. And this is something that I think that's not easy for us to recognize. And part of why I think it's hard to recognize is because we live in a culture that actually kind of either just excuses or dismisses this, or it even rewards or even celebrates a certain kind of pride without, as long as that pride is linked to success or leads to a kind of success. I don't know about you, but my family and I have been really enjoying watching the Paris Olympics so far. We turn it on, watch it when we can. I love watching the Olympics, and I love watching sports, partly because I just, I love playing sports, and so I love seeing these athletes and the amazing things they can do, the amazing accomplishments, and I love to joke with my family that, if I just had like one more summer camp in hockey, I could have been an NHL player too. Or if I was just a little bit taller, I could have played basketball. That one's not true at all. Neither of them are true. But I love to make these jokes, even though I have a hard enough time walking down the stairs without kind of throwing out my hip. And I'm not even that old. But I think all of us just love to watch these amazing athletes and the incredible things that you can do. But part of why I actually love watching athletes or watching the Olympics is they actually show an incredible confidence in their abilities. And this confidence is actually a good thing. It allows them to just be really ambitious or go for their goals or to believe in themselves. And that's something that's worth celebrating. And it's important to know that humility and confidence can go together. Confidence is not the same thing as pride, and confidence is a good thing. But every once in a while, maybe you've noticed this as well, every once in a while you come across an athlete who has like a quote or who goes viral, who said something that kind of crosses the line between confidence and arrogance. One example that I thought of actually as people were gearing up towards the Olympics is that with the USA basketball men's team, there's this guy who's on the team, whose name is Anthony Edwards. If you've never heard of him, that's okay. But what you need to know is that he's like a star player on his own team, but on the USA basketball team, he's like average. Like he's playing with legends, with like Steph Curry and LeBron James, all these amazing players. But even so, he had the audacity to kind of say this quote that you'll see on the screen. He said, he called himself the number one option on the team. On a team like full of legends. And not only that, but he said that the rest of the team has to kind of fit or work around him as the center of this team. Believe it. It's not surprising that this kind of went viral and it was talked about in a lot of different places. But I think one thing that's surprising is that like for all the people who didn't like this comment, so many people celebrated it and thought it was a really great thing. They thought like, hey, it's okay because it works for him. It's helping him be successful. It helps him kind of have like this killer instinct or this killer attitude. And so we'll just kind of excuse it or even celebrate it as a good thing. And I think we can do this really in different ways in our own culture, that we actually, in different moments, find it hard to tell the difference between confidence and where that's moved towards pride or arrogance. And we do that and we make excuses, not only for ourselves, but for other people. And we can even reward or promote this kind of attitude as long as it's connected to being successful at all costs. As long as it's tied to a certain kind of ambition that allows us to get the results that we want. That it will even do that while ignoring how that's disrespecting other teammates or disrespecting other people or ignoring the needs of others. And so the wisdom of the book of Proverbs warns us that this kind of pride that can take root, that when it does, you can slowly begin to see yourself maybe as more superior to other people or more deserving of something than somebody else. Or it can come at the expense of, again, teammates or coworkers, or it can begin to hurt your marriage or other relationships in your life. And pride is one of those things that when it does take root, it can even turn into other things like arrogance or things like bitterness or judgmentalism or even greed. The Proverbs actually even point to an example of how pride can turn into a kind of greed. Here's what one of the Proverbs says. It says, "Better to live humbly with the poor than to share plunder with the proud." It's a proverb that warns that of a kind of pride that's linked to ambition or linked to like success at all costs, that when we do this, it actually will turn into greed. A greed that makes you ignore the needs of those around you or those who are less fortunate than you. When pride takes root, it actually has a way of making us lose perspective around the things that really matter. It's this sin of actually thinking so much of ourselves and always kind of thinking highly of ourselves that we actually stop caring for the people around us. And as we've talked about in previous weeks, the wisdom of the Proverbs reveals over and over again in different ways that whatever is taking root in your heart will always leak out into different situations and to people around you, whether you recognize it or not. I think it's tempting when we look at the Proverbs and when we look at different kind of passages in the Bible to believe the lie that what's going on inside of me is just private and it doesn't matter to anyone else and it's not going to affect anybody else. But these Proverbs, again, are here to help us recognize this issue of pride, that it will begin to impact not only yourself but those around you. And these Proverbs are here to help you recognize the different ways that pride can take root in your heart and become destructive. They're there to help you reflect on, is there an area of your life that's lacking humility, that may be turning into bitterness or greed or envy or insecurity or a sense of like superiority or entitlement around other people. It's a chance to reflect on how is that affecting my relationship with my spouse or my family members or with my coworkers. And so not only as we look at these Proverbs is pride destructive, but one of the things that makes it so challenging to recognize areas of pride in ourselves is that pride is not only destructive, it's also deceptive. Pride has this really subtle way and almost sneaky way of getting into us without us even noticing that it's happened. And here are actually two other Proverbs that talk about this specific problem with pride. Here's what they say. The first one says, "Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for them." Or the second one says, "Those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe." They're pointing to this idea that pride is so deceptive because it has this subtle way of almost making us lose touch with reality or lose touch with the truth. It even has this way of tricking you to believe that you could be more wise than you really are, or making you feel so overconfident in your own abilities and in yourself that you stop trusting other people or asking other people for help. One of the reasons why pride can be so deceptive is because it can actually make us forget that we each have blind spots. Part of the wisdom of these Proverbs is an awareness that we all have our own blind spots in our lives. This is kind of an easy concept if you think about this idea of blind spots. If you have a driver's license, if you drive a car, that likely you took lessons where early on somebody explained to you the idea of blind spots when you drive. That there's a certain spot like where you can see everything that's happening in front of you. You know, you can look back at your rear view mirror and your side view mirror, but there are certain angles where you can't see the car that's like slightly behind you. And so you need to learn to kind of turn and pay attention to those to not crash into somebody. And I remember when I got my license years ago that this was like really hammered into me by my driver's instructor. And when I was kind of preparing to go for my exam to get my test, like I recognized how important this was. I was checking my blind spots all the time, like looking behind me whenever I would brake, checking the side whenever I would change lanes, all those kinds of things, until the day that I actually earned my driver's license. Right away, for whatever reason, something turned in me that I became like overconfident in an instant. Maybe because I was an 18-year-old boy, but you know, I think it can happen to any of us. But I turned overconfident so quickly the day that I got my license that I actually took out a bunch of friends. We went out, I borrowed my parents' car, we went out and like ate pie or something, I don't remember, we were at a restaurant, and I was in the parking lot, and I was so like confident in my abilities that I, backing out of the parking lot, I didn't check my blind spot and I scraped into another car. I think this is something that's like so common that can happen to all of us, just the amazing kind of quick movement between recognizing that we need to learn something and pay attention to something to becoming overconfident in our own abilities, that we stop paying attention to the things we need to pay attention to. We forget about our blind spots. In fact, many studies actually show, studies in the field of psychology, they reveal that when we're learning something new, people in general have this habit when we're learning a new ability or a new skill or whatever it is, that when we're moving from the phase of just like being a beginner to being an amateur, just like one step over, that we suddenly believe that we're an expert in that area. Studies after studies show our tendency to do this, and we apply this to so many different areas of our lives. And I think this tendency comes so naturally to us that we even do this in our spiritual lives as well. We do this to the point where we can actually develop a kind of religious pride. And over again, the Bible even warns us of this kind of pride that can even develop over spiritual things. And this happens in so many different ways. You can listen to a sermon and think, wow, that sermon was so great for my wife, but not for me. right? Or so great for my husband, but that doesn't apply to me. Or my kids really need to hear that, but I've already learned that. I'm past that. Or you can, you know, one of the things that you're going to hear as we get towards the end of the summer, because we are, is that you're going to hear about things like Bible studies that we're doing, or home groups, or a marriage course, whatever it is, all with the hopes of helping us to kind of grow together. But it can be easy to look at those different things and think, that's not for me. Like, I'm past all those things now. I don't need that anymore. I'm already emotionally mature, so I don't need to do, I need to learn from that. Or I don't need to grow in community. I already have a lot of friends. Or I'm happy just being on my own. Or, you know, I don't need to understand that book of the Bible. I already know everything there is to know about that. Or I already have a good marriage. I don't need anybody's advice. But the book of Proverbs really says here that it's impossible to be wise and to be spiritually mature without also desiring to continue to grow in humility and to keep learning in different ways. One way it teaches us to grow in wisdom and to learn to pay attention to our own blind spots is by learning to be someone who listens to the advice of other people. Here's what one of the Proverbs says. It says, "The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice." The wisdom of the Proverbs says that if you really desire to grow in wisdom, you'll grow in receiving advice from the kinds of people who you can trust, who can get honest with you about your blind spots that you have. So as you think about this, are you someone who's learning to seek the advice of and wise counsel of others? Whether that's like a wise mentor or a family member or a counselor or a spiritual leader, are you just learning to be open to receiving advice from others? Do you desire to grow even in humility enough to allow people to point out your blind spots? That when they do that, you will allow yourself to just be corrected and to say or admit when you're wrong or to recognize the areas where you need to grow? Or maybe is there an area of your life where as you reflect, maybe you've always kind of kept that to yourself. You've refused to listen to others' help in that area and you've only trusted yourself. As I think about this, one of the things that we ran last year as a church was something called the marriage course that we did this past year. And my wife, Jasmine, and I took that course for the very first time this year. And, you know, I have to admit, I was excited to take the course, but I really believed that there wasn't going to be much that I would learn in that course. I'm already like an amazing husband. So I didn't think I'd need it. I thought I'd learn a little bit, but like not much. Like I already know what I'm doing. And I was really surprised when we went through that course that there were a lot of big areas where we really, really still needed to grow. Like we were not nearly as mature or kind of on the same page as I thought we were. And one of those areas for me that I was like really shocked by was I always thought that I was like an amazing listener. I was convinced I'm such a great listener all the time in every situation. People have often told me like, oh, you're such a good listener. And so I thought in my marriage, I was always a good listener. And so, and then I thought when, you know, there was miscommunication or problems or Jasmine was frustrated with something, it's just because she wasn't communicating it properly to me. Right? It had nothing to do with my listening until I took the course and I was really surprised to kind of find out that there are so many ways that I'm a terrible listener. There's so many ways where somebody's talking to me and I'll kind of dismiss what they're saying if it's not important. Or I'll like shut them down if I don't agree. And so I had to get really honest about this blind spot in my life that I wouldn't have recognized otherwise. We all have so many areas and blind spots in our lives that we need help to recognize and to admit and to get honest about. But the wisdom of these Proverbs, again, they help us to recognize the ways that our pride can really be both destructive and deceptive, and they help us to grow in an awareness of our blind spots. But as you consider what it looks like to kind of recognize and address these different areas, maybe you feel this tension that I feel, that even if you recognize the pride that may be in yourself in different place in your life, even if you're aware of your own blind spots, it's not enough to just say, don't be prideful. It's not enough to say that to somebody else or for somebody to say that to you or to just kind of convince yourself, hey, I just need to not be prideful. We still have this question of like, what do I actually do with that now? How do I grow past that? How do I deal with my own pride that I have in my life? And the good news for us is that the wisdom of the Bible doesn't just teach us to pay attention to our pride or to tell us, don't be a prideful person. It also teaches us to desire the humility by pointing us to Jesus. It points us to the God who doesn't just give us like a set of tips or good principles or instructions, but the God who actually comes to us as a person to model humility for us in order to set us free from our own pride. The earliest Christians actually shaped their worship around this reality that the humility of Jesus, it was what has set them free. There's a passage in one of Paul's letters in the New Testament that actually scholars believe is one of the oldest poems that was used in worship at the time by the earliest followers, that was likely even put to song by them and that was memorized by them. And Paul kind of references or shares this poem in one of his letters to talk about the importance that in your relationships to learn to kind of show humility to one another. It's this famous passage. It's from Philippians. And so I want to have it on the screen and you can read along. But I maybe just want to encourage you, if you've never heard this before or you haven't heard in a long time, just to listen to these words and let them sink in. This is what Paul says in the letter. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Christianity really teaches us that the only way to deal with our own pride is through our worship to this God. Through our worship to the one who came and revealed himself in the person of Jesus. And so we worship Jesus not only because he came to be a model to us of what perfect humility looks like, but because by doing so, he was the one who set us free from our own pride. But even before God came and revealed himself fully in the person of Jesus, the book of Proverbs before then already had a way of teaching us this same principle that the only way to grow in wisdom and in humility is through our worship to God. And it uses, in order to do this, a really interesting term or phrase to try to capture this idea of worship to God, which comes up over and over again throughout the book. And maybe if you've read the Proverbs a little bit on your own, you've come across this term or this phrase already. And it's a confusing term, but the term is the fear of the Lord. Okay? Anybody heard that before? The fear of the Lord. You'll see that in a lot of places. And I want us to take a moment just to kind of help us understand what this means, because it's a term that's actually really difficult and confusing for most of us when we read it. So I'll get to those Proverbs in a second. But part of what's confusing about when you just think about the term, the fear of the Lord, is that it really doesn't translate well from the original Hebrew to our English language. One, in the Hebrew, it's not four words, and so you can't kind of unpack each of those words and understand what it means. And it actually doesn't mean to be afraid of God at all. Okay, that's really, really important to understand. The better translation is more of this idea of like this deep sense of awe or wonder or reverence towards God because of who he is. It's more of this idea that actually whenever you hear this term, fear of the Lord is more just the idea of just worshiping God for who he is. That he's a God who's not somebody that we should fear, but that he's incredibly powerful, and at the same time, in his power, he's kind and merciful and good and gracious to us all the time. And here are a couple ways, actually, you can put them back up, that the Proverbs uses this term of the fear of the Lord to connect this idea of worship to God with what it means to then grow in wisdom and in humility. You'll see the first on the screen, it comes right from the beginning of the book of Proverbs. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Right at the beginning of the Proverbs, it comes almost to like lay the foundation for the book to say that we only really grow in wisdom when it's shaped by our worship to God. The second says this, it connects humility with worship. It says, humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. It's saying that our desire for humility really grows through our worship. But that if you never learn to surrender your pride, worship then becomes impossible for you. Because worship is really the place where we learn to take the focus off ourselves and put it back on God. We learn to direct our attention to God, and he then opens our eyes to what he's doing and to the people around us. In our worship, we learn to trust in ourselves less and in our own abilities less, and to trust more in God and what he alone can do for us and the things that he even desires for us. As Christians, our reverence and our worship for God is now seen as well through the lens of Jesus. As you learn to worship Jesus as the center of your life, he transforms you to grow in the kind of humility that he modeled for each of us. And he even begins to set you free from your own pride. He sets you free from the need to earn the approval of other people. Or he sets you free from the pride of never asking for help or never being able to admit when you're wrong about something. Or he frees you to just be honest before him and before other people and to even be honest with yourself because of his love for you. Or he frees you to not have to be afraid to admit when you've been wrong and to ask for forgiveness. As we wrap up this morning, Dave and the team are going to come up and lead us again in the song that they led us through called The Heart of Worship. And as we sing this song together, would you just make this song again your prayer today to help you just grow a desire for humility? Would you use this song as a prayer to say, God, I don't want to be the center of my life. Would you be the center? To use this prayer as like, God, I want to take the attention off myself and put it back on you and what you're doing and the things that you want to pay attention to, To even use this as a time to get honest and to confess to God areas of your life where you need him to deal with the pride that's in you as you think about a particular area or a particular relationship. To ask him to really grow a desire, a deeper desire for the humility that Jesus modeled for us. And so Dave's going to lead us in this song. I'll just invite you to stand as we sing this together.
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to pray something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. Coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you, it's all about. No one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song. Song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming. It's all about you. sorry, Lord, thing I made it when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm so back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it when it's all about you. It's all about you when it's all about you. It's all about you when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
And when Jesus came and he was had this moment where he was gathered with disciples and with others, and he was teaching them of what it would look like to follow him, he had this way of actually pointing to the Proverbs, but almost deepening them or furthering them because of who he was and what he was doing. And at one point in the Sermon on the Mount, he shares this word, or he shares these words. You'll see it up on the screen. He says, "Blessed, God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth." So his way of saying that those who want to follow me must desire the humility that only I can shape in them. That those who want to follow me must desire this humility, because if they really want to participate in my kingdom and the things that I'm doing. That we would be the kinds of people who don't point others to ourselves, but who are constantly pointing them to God and to Jesus and to what he alone can do in our lives. Those are the kinds of people that he can entrust with his kingdom, that he can entrust to share the good news with our children or the next generation or with our city or those around us. So with that, why don't we pray together as we close. God, we thank you so much for the gift and the wisdom of the Proverbs. How they help us to get honest with the things that you want us to pay attention to. God, we've confessed just different areas where we have let pride seep into our hearts. But God, as we think about those and as we learn to get honest about those together as a church, God, we thank you that you are a God who never condemns us and who never shames us. But that instead you say, just lay those before me, that I will continue to set you free from your own pride. God, we desire for you to be the center of our lives. That we would trust you so much and be so confident in you that we would be more and more free and more comfortable with admitting when we're wrong or being able to say sorry to others and to ask for forgiveness, or that we would learn to just pay attention to the people and the needs and the things that you are calling us to pay attention to. We think about the impact as we learn to do this that this will have on our own children or our marriages, or as we interact in the workplace. You need us to be people who desire the humility that only you can give us. And so God, as we go from here, as we even continue with the weeks ahead throughout this summer, would you help us to grow in this kind of wisdom that's shaped by in worship to you. Thank you so much for this time and just this moment to be together to worship you now and to look to you. And would you just go before us as we go from here. We pray in Jesus' name. So much, everyone. So good to be with you. I want to just say something before you go, that we have a prayer space in the corner with a prayer team. We'd love to take the time to pray with you if you have something you want to pray for. Otherwise, have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday. See you guys.